Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 109, the four stanzas. The offering on the altar burned gives no delight to thee. The hearing ear, the willing heart, thou givest unto me. And what follows? Psalter 109, the four stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in James 2. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. James 2. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. If there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye then partial? Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name, by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. And now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do. And they that shall be judged by the law of liberty, for he shall have judgment without mercy, that is showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, and notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abram, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when by renewal thou wast granted the opportunity on this Lord's Day to come up to thy house, then by renewal we stand in need of thy help in speaking and in listening, where each time is a new time. May it please thee to bless us with thy special favor and with thy special presence. Wilt thou come down with thy Holy Spirit and dwell richly amongst us and our children, that thy word may be blessed. May it be blessed indeed for the conversion of the unconverted, and may it be blessed for the instruction, the comfort, the encouragement, the edification, and the correction of thy children. Then already in this day, then we have heard precious things. We have also seen precious things. Then by renewal we commend those fathers and mothers unto thee who have presented their little one in this morning hour to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant, thy thrice holy name, upon their little forehead, Lord. May they not be finished with the sacrament, but may there be many exercises, many prayers sent up unto thee, and a profound impression that our time is so precious, and that also it can be so short. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers to that end, for the instruction of their children. May the children also see it in their lives that thy word has such an important place. And wilt thou grant unto the children listening and obedient ears, bless the manifold means of grace in the church from Lord's Day to Lord's Day, the catechism classes, the confession of faith class, the many visits at all awaits for thy blessing. Wilt thou remember and bless our Christian school, the administration, the principals, the staff, the bus drivers, the students, when thy word may be opened, do bless it to the hearts of young and old. We commend thy church unto thee, the established churches, our theological school, the students. Wilt thou continue to grant thy help? Uphold the persecuted church. Remember the Jewish people. Remember mission work also, our mission field. Wilt thou remember thy servants and remember the team with their families, far away from friends, from congregations, but may they be given to experience oftentimes that thou art an everywhere present God, and that the labors may be blessed indeed. The labors are manifold, the labors are few, and to that end, may it please thee to grant more servants in thy vineyard, a church worker for our mission field, and also more teachers for our Christian school. Wilt thou remember our poor nation? We commend the leaders unto thee, where there seems to be so little regard for thy holy word, for thy law, for the two roses which thou wast left out of paradise after our deep fall, O Lord. May it please thee to open their eyes, that they may be given to see when we go against thy word, that we can and shall not prosper. We shall experience thy disfavor. Thou shalt come with thy judgments upon such a nation, and Lord, we are such a nation. Wilt thou convert those in high authority? Ah, when that would take place, then it would be heard, and then it would be experienced. Remember also our province, the premier, all those in high authority. Wilt thou grant unto them a listening ear? Impress it upon all our hearts that we are part of this country. A national sin brings national guilt, and when there is no repentance, then national judgments shall come upon such a people. There is such a great need for much prayer and for sincere repentance, because it is written in thy word that the time has come, that the judgments must begin at the house of God. then we must not expect for a reformation to begin in a bar or on the sports field or in a theater. But, oh Lord, may thy word be blessed to grant a reformation, a repentance amongst us and our children, and that we may become the guilty one, that we may become a Jonah. Lord, remember us and our children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Wilt thou grant a heart to acknowledge thee for the many blessings, the many good things which thou still hast left amongst us, where we are privileged above most of the people upon the face of the earth. In the day of tomorrow, a husband and wife hope to remember and commemorate that thou wast spared, that thou wast kept for 58 years in the bond of holy matrimony. Lord, it is a special day. Wilt thou make it special for them? And even more so when we consider the dreaded disease in the body of Father. Hitherto, then thou wast watched over him. How long it shall yet be, 'tis known unto thee above all things, Lord. Wilt thou convert them both, as thou converteth all thy people. On the last day of this week, then a son hopes to commemorate that thou shalt also add another year unto his years, and then we commend him unto thee in a special way, physically. Then he is different, his thoughts shall multiply, but, O Lord, wilt thou grant strength, wilt thou grant courage, may his eyes be upon thee. Wilt thou remember the family circle, his sister, who has been in the hospital, may return home. Thou also knowest her difficulties. Wilt thou remember the parents? Then we commend all handicapped ones unto thee. Lord, by renewal, then we lay before thee a father who was called to go to the hospital and to undergo a serious and a long surgery. Then by renewal, we humbly ask thee that thou may go with him. Remember him together with his dear wife. May the prayers be multiplied. Wilt thou be a wonder-doing God and our Lord. Then surely thou wert speaking in a special way, my son. Give me thy heart. May this calling, may he be spared. May it be for the purpose of all purposes, and that is for the saving of souls. Remember all under the physician's care, fears, concerns, it is all known unto thee. Remember the crosses, the burdens. We remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery. Continue to uphold them And remember all the elderly ones, Bethesda, the residents, and those who may lovely care for them, and those who may still go in and out. Well, thou remember those that struggle with special temptations and addictions. Wilt thou help them, and wilt thou deliver them, and wilt thou convert them. Remember the family circles. May love abound. What has been separated, may it please thee to bring it together according to thy holy word. Lord, wilt thou remember us in this hour, undeserved, forfeited, sinned away. We have no rights. We can confess much with our lips. Tis a blessing and a privilege when it may be experienced in the heart, and that there may be a fleeing to that city of refuge to find a hiding place under the sheltering wings of Emmanuel. May thy kingdom come, thy name glorified. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 325, the four stanzas. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart, and what follows, Psalter 325, the four stanzas. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 32, the question and answers 86 and 87. Question 86, since then we are delivered from our misery, merely of grace through Christ, without any merit of ours, why must we still do good works? Answer, because Christ, having redeemed and delivered us by his blood, also renews us by his Holy Spirit after his own image, and that so we may testify by the whole of our conduct our gratitude to God for his blessings, and that he may be praised by us also, that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof, and that by our godly conversation others may be gained to Christ. Question 87, cannot they then be saved who, continuing in their wicked and ungrateful lives, are not converted to God? Answer, by no means. For the Holy Scripture declares that no unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, covetous man, drunkard, slanderer, robber, or any such like shall inherit the kingdom of God. Lord's Day 32, that speaks of good works in the part of gratitude. Three thoughts. First, good works as a testimony of grace. Secondly, good works profitable on earth. And thirdly, good works necessary to enter heaven. Good works in the part of gratitude. Good works as a testimony of grace. Good works profitable on earth. Good works necessary to enter heaven. First, good works as a testimony of grace. Beloved congregation, over this Lord's Day we read the third part of thankfulness. We have already heard the knowledge, the origin, and the punishment of sin. Then from Lord's Day number 5 through 31, we have heard of that deliverance possible through the perfect and finished work of Christ and the state of his humiliation, and in the state of his exaltation, then Christ applies those merits, those benefits, to his people. When we read over Lord's Day number 32 of gratitude, then we must not understand it in this way, that when the Lord converts us, that first the part concerning misery, And then we experience deliverance. And then there is thankfulness, no. And those three matters, they shall be experienced continually in the life of God's people. To that end, the instructors also in the part of thankfulness speak of the many infirmities that cleave to the flesh. When the Lord begins that good work, and that is the question, when we have come to the third part of our Heidelberg Catechism concerning that thankfulness, whether the Lord has made a beginning in our life by the work of the Spirit. And when that takes place, then already in the beginning, because the Spirit, He draws by love. And when the Lord sheds that love abroad in the heart for God, for His word, for His law, for His people, for His house, for His institutions, then there comes that vehement and desire that the Lord may be praised by us. How is that congregation? May there now be a beginning. Have we now become exercised with God's honor, with God's glory, and with the coming of His kingdom? When this Lord's Day, when in question 86, there is spoken of good works, then we can remember that it is not the first time in the catechism that we hear of good works. We have heard of good works already in Lord's Day number 24. But then there is a great separation, because in Lord's Day 24, let us not say a separation, because a justification and sanctification, they can never be separated, but they must be distinguished. And that is necessary for a child of God, for their comfort. Then in Lord's Day number 24, then there was spoken of good works in respect to justification. But now in this Lord's Day, with respect to sanctification, in Lord's Day number 24, then there was asked whether our works could be the whole or even part of our satisfaction before the justice of God. And when the Lord works by His Spirit, then we become exercised with those holy matters, because we learn that our sin that brings separation, a breach between the Lord and our soul, and then we shall do everything in our power to please the Lord. But now it is the work of the Spirit to teach such a sinner, and the Lord is so free. The one quicker, the other more gradual, but the Spirit shall teach them that nothing can be added, need be added, and shall be added. And then we have heard that satisfaction must be a perfect satisfaction, and that our best works, that they are polluted with sin. In Lord's Day number 24, And then there was spoken of reward, and whether such a doctrine that our works have absolutely no part in the justification of a sinner, or whether it makes man profane and careless. How is it with you, congregation? Careless, profane, or have you learned to bow in truth and uprightness before the living God? Has sin become sin? And now when this Lord's Day by renewal speaks of good works, then as a reaction, because the first question, that is an accusation against the self-righteous Pharisee and against the Roman Catholics. But in the Reformed circles, and also in the time of the Reformation, then the Reformers were accused that they denied that good works were necessary. To that end, different ones have written books and explanation concerning the right place of good works. As a reaction, let us mention Martin Luther, a dear child of God, one that has learned so clearly that his works would not save him. It has been said, if anyone would come into heaven because of his works, then it would have been a Martin Luther. And also a Martin Luther, all concerning the doctrine of good works, he has explained the necessity thereof. But Martin Luther was not, how shall we say it, not so fond of the book of James, where it spoke, where James, we have read it together, the necessity of works. Thus, as a reaction, souls that have experienced that it was grace and grace alone, as I read in Ephesians 2, the verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then there have been those that have been fearful to speak too much of good works. There are even those that have said after a sinner is justified, then he is finished with the law. To that end, also the instructors of our Heidelberg Catechism, they have written many Lord's Days concerning the true gratitude. In the Bible, we read 16 times literally the expression good works, and many other expressions referring thereto. And we must remember, after Ephesians 2, the verses 8 and 9, then we have the 10th verse, and there it is written, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Thus the purpose of election in this text and in other texts the fruits of justification, that is that true gratitude, to walk in good works. When we think of that old apostle John, when he has written his three epistles, then especially in those epistles, then he was given to speak of the fruit of the true work of grace, the fruits of faith. Of course, first the tree good, and then the fruit. Our boys and girls can understand it. You can have a bad tree, and you can try to glue a beautiful apple or a pear to that tree, but it shall still be that evil tree. We read in John 15 of the branch, the stalk, that they are engrafted into Christ. And now concerning the third part of true thankfulness, then the instructors, they begin with a precious and a God-glorifying confession that it is grace and grace alone. We have heard it so often already that the instructors in their questions and in their answers, that each time by renewal, they were given to point to the precious work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the necessity of true saving faith, to embrace those benefits, the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit. And now also the third part of true thankfulness, and the instructors, they shall explain what that true thankfulness is. We can be glad, and it is a blessing in this Meshach here below, when the Lord granteth unto us and our children a joy and gladness, that we become not overly discouraged, but that gladness that centers in self or in our neighbor. So there can be gladness in the family circles, and it is a great blessing when love may abound, where we read in the Word of God in Matthew 24, verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, that the love of many shall wax cold, that by the Lord's common goodness, that he grants a great measure of love in the midst of the family circles and in the midst of the congregation. But that true thankfulness, that is an other matter, because that is a gratitude that focuses and that ends in the Lord. And now that question, a precious confession, since then we are delivered from our misery, let us turn that confession into a question. Are we delivered from our misery? Have we become exercised with our sins? Have our sins become a burden? Have we learned to mourn over them? Is that separation worse than death? But let us always remember a knowledge of our misery. That is what our instructors each time in the Heidelberg Catechism are given to stress. That a knowledge of our misery, that it is not sufficient, but that by true saving faith, we need to be brought to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, to that end the necessity that we may not rest until we may be given to rest, where the Father was well pleased, and that was in the sacrifice of his dear Son. When we read that question, when we have read it, I hope there have been souls that have sent a sigh up unto heaven, and that have said, O Lord, that is my need, that is my desire, but although may not deny what the Lord has done, and when the Lord begins, then he grants faith, hope, and love. But now that word sense, oh, that can be such a desire. There are souls, if they could repeat this question, then they would be the happiest soul upon the earth, to receive that assurance that all their filthy sins are blotted out, that they are erased, that they are cast behind the Lord's back. Listen, a sense then that is a soul that has experienced the precious things. It is true, there are different degrees concerning that knowledge. But since then we are delivered from our misery, merely of grace, through Christ, what a precious and God-glorifying confession that the instructor is given to make in question 86. And without any merit of ours, what a lesson for the child of God to learn, and to continually learn, because the flesh is so bound up in that covenant of works, and each time by renewal it can be in such subtle ways that we want to bring a little along to please the Lord, but without any merit of ours. Why must we still do good works? Then the instructors, they are given to use that word must. But for the child of God, it is true, there is a holy must, because a good tree shall bring forth good fruit. But for the child of God, concerning that must, to make it clear for our boys and girls, when in the springtime, when in the morning hour, when we hear a robin sing, boys and girls, how do you think that it is with such a robin? Do you now think that that robin has to ponder and think, I am now a robin, so it is my duty to sing? I think our children shall say, no, that is not the way it works, because then it is so, because the Lord has created that bird, a robin, and then in the early morning hour, and then it is the nature of that bird to sing, and therefore he singeth. And therefore we read in that question, why must we still do good works? Thus then we may speak of different matters. In the first place, a holy obligation to be given to thank the Lord for his wonderful works which he has wrought and which he has given. Then the child, they come in the depths. Do we not read in Psalm 116, verse 12, where the psalmist has declared, I love the Lord, the fount of life. He hears my prayer and my supplication. And then in verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me? Are there souls that have trouble with those matters? So many blessings and our thanksgiving is so little and many times so far in between. But not only a holy obligation and holy necessity, because it is that new nature. Do I not read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if any man be a new creature in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things become new. Then in the third place, then there is a holy desire that the Lord may be praised by us and in us. And in the fourth place, that it is a holy evidence, a testimony, because we read in the answer, because Christ, then by renewal, then the instructor is given to raise that precious mediator up, that he is fairer than the children of men, because Christ, having redeemed and delivered us by his blood, also renews us by his Holy Spirit after his own image. Our second thought, good works profitable on earth, that so we may testify by the whole of our conduct, our gratitude to God for his blessings, and that he may be praised by us. Thus I read in Romans 8, verse 29, that people, that they become conformable to the image of God, as sometimes the saints, they are called godly ones. That means that they start to resemble their master, of course, only in part. But I read in Acts 4, verse 13, when Peter and John were called before the Sanhedrin, and they realized that they did not go to university, and then we read specifically that they perceived that they had been with Jesus. Then the instructors, they have said, by the whole of our conduct, all places, in the family circle, husband, wife, children, in church, at work, in school, the whole of our conduct, that by that conduct we may show our gratitude to God for His blessings, because that gratitude, that is a tender walk in the tender fear of the Lord, that becomes evident in a holy obedience, not a perfect obedience. Concerning that walk, more seen by their fellow man than by themselves. When we think on the day of Pentecost, then we read of those tongues of fire that sat on each of the apostles, and then they have seen it for their brother, but they have not seen it on themselves, although they have experienced the wonderful things of the Lord. That conduct, that shall be a tender walk. It shall be a trusting in the Lord for our needs. It shall be a submission when the Lord chastises. It shall be a sacrificing life. It shall also be with our lips. Of course, we have learned from Reverend Hellenbrook concerning the difference of justification and sanctification. How many points can you mention this evening, congregation? Fathers and mothers, how many points can you mention? I hope that concerning the catechism lessons of your children, the young people, that you know what they are studying, and then it is also profitable that father, as head of the household, that he studies the same. And now one of the differences is justification, that is perfect, but sanctification, that is only in part. Then further, then the instructors have said also that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof. When the Lord grants a tender life, then the Lord, do we not read in Psalm 25, verse 14, that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. That refers to a tender walk, and He will show them His covenant. The closer walk that the child may have with their master, the more they may experience of the wonderful things of the Lord, the more they may hear His voice, and the closer walk, the more they shall experience how sinful they yet are. There are many infirmities, the instructors, that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof. Could mention different examples out of the Bible. When we think of an Abram in Genesis 22, and then after he has sacrificed his only beloved son Isaac, and when the Lord has given deliverance, then the Lord has spoken concerning the fulfillment of the promise which he has given in Genesis 12. When we consider the three young friends of Daniel in Daniel 3, when they could not bow before that golden image and congregation, we live in a time that we do not expect that it shall be asked that we bow before a little golden image as in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. But we live in a time that the world shall demand and is demanding that we bow under the image of human secularism, where there is no acknowledging of God and of his providence, and so little recognition of his holy law and of his word and of his institutions. But then how they were assured of their faith by the fruits thereof, when they were cast into that burning fire, and that there was a fourth, the resemblance of the Son of God, and how they were delivered, as a Daniel not experienced in Daniel 6, when he is still went to that room with those open windows to Jerusalem, and notwithstanding the commanded decree of the king, when he was cast into the den of lions, boys and girls, has then not a Daniel experienced the special favor and approval of the Lord? Let us first sing a Psalter 1, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. That man is blessed who fearing God from sin restrains his feet, who will not stand with wicked men, who shuns the scorner's seat, and what follows. Psalter 1, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
and that by our godly conversation, others may be gained to Christ. People of God, is that not a special reason that there may be a close and a tender life, and to that end, the necessity of a prayerful life, that others, that unconverted ones, that they may be filled with a holy jealousy, and that the Lord may use it for their conversion. Old fathers have said that they believed that there were very few single conversions. When the Lord converts one, that many times shall be used. What a blessing if it may be used for many. And to that end, because in that last point does not speak of office bearers, but it speaks of the Church of God. In the time of the Reformation, how often a godly example, a tender walk, a holy joy, how often the martyrs, when they were given to enter eternity, praising their God and Savior, many times by the work of the Spirit it was used, that sinners were wrought upon, that they were given to see what they needed. Have examples in the Bible. Think of that little maid. She was used as an instrument that Naaman was healed of his leprosy. Our third thought, a good works necessary to enter heaven. Cannot they then be saved who, continuing in their wicked and ungrateful lives, are not converted to God? Then we read of different matters. First it says, cannot they then be saved who, continuing in their wicked lives? I hope, congregation, that we may be spared from the hardening of the heart. That is the greatest judgment that can come upon a person. When the Lord removes his restraining hand, when we do not listen to the admonishments, but that we become very bold in sin, that our conscience becomes seared. But now the instructors have added, and ungrateful lives, of course, a wicked life, that is an ungrateful life. And when we speak of wicked, we must remember that all sins are sins, but there is a difference in the Westminster Larger Catechism than in question and answer 150 and 151. Then they make a separation. But here they speak of wicked, but it also speaks of ungrateful lives. Thus, that is broader than that word wicked, ungrateful, unthankful lives. Do you hear your name mentioned? A congregation. Are you such an unthankful one? Ungrateful lives. That with all the many blessings that the Lord bestows upon us, that we are not humbled, that we are not so obedient, that we are not begging the Lord, that we may walk in His ways, in His institutions, and not begging the Lord to be converted, but happy with the things of the world. Thus the question is, those that continue in their wicked and ungrateful lives, they cannot enter into heaven. But in this question, then there is spoken still of a way that we may enter into heaven. And then there is written two matters for those that continue in their wicked and ungrateful lives. That means, congregation, that there must be a turning, that there must be a repentance, that we are given to sorrow over our sins. And then there is also said, are not converted to God. That implies that we can still be converted, but congregation, it needs to take place here in the time. We need to be wrought upon. Let me ask you a very simple question that you can take home and that you can ponder over and that you can lay before the Lord, that you may examine on which pathway you are traveling. Let me ask you the question concerning sin. Is it still your delight and your life, or has it become truly a burden? Does not mean that God's people do not have trouble with that flesh, with that old man, and that old man that is never converted, but the Lord has a people that knoweth that their sin, that it is not their delight, but that by the grace of God, it has become their burden. And then the instructors, they have quoted the scriptures, by no means. For the Holy Scripture declares that no unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, covetous man, drunkard, a slanderer, robber, or any such like shall inherit the kingdom of God, except we are converted by God unto God. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we may thank Thee for another Lord's Day. Doors of Thy house have been opened. Thou was granted Thy help, both the audible and visible gospel word ministered in the midst of the congregation. May we be given to meditate upon the same. Well, to be the after preacher, we may begin another week. Wilt thou graciously watch over us in the home, work, at school, on the way, also in the hospital, and then once more, and then we commend unto thee the Father with his dear ones, that is called to go to the hospital and undergo a serious surgery, O Lord. Wilt thou remember him? Then we also commend those unto thee, those that have lost their employment because of all the different mandates, O Lord. Wilt thou care for them and grant tokens that thou knowest of them? May they be given to lay it before thee. Wilt thou grant unto each and every one strength, courage, health, and joy in their labors, and no perfection upon the earth, because the earth bringeth forth thistles. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? Remember the catechism classes, the confession of faith class. Wilt thou remember the congregation, the coming Sabbath day? Help and remember the consistory. Remember our custodians, the doorkeepers, those that may lead the congregational singing, all those that may have an active part in the worship service, and wilt thou grant many Aarons and many hers, Lord. May we be found more a praying people. We commend our nation unto thee in this very difficult time. Wilt thou grant a hearkening, a turning unto thee, the living God? Wilt thou now bring us safely to our homes? Thou hast crowned the day with thy mercy and with thy goodness. Wilt thou also watch over us during the night? Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 441, the stanzas 1 and 2. Thy land, O Lord, the heathen have invaded, and thy holy heritage they have degraded. Jerusalem, the temple and its altars, are ruthlessly defiled by the assaulters. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce that, the Lord willing, this Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m., the young people hope to meet in Pitcher Butte. Psalter 441, the stanzas 1 and 2. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.